Let's give it up to all the leaders who are listening to this right now. We love all of you so very much. I'm glad that you are tuning in today. Everybody who's in the room, thankful for you, all of our Guatemala family that I'm actually seeing on Zoom right now, and San Antonio family. Really, really love y'all. What a season and a moment we are in as a church. I am not taking this for granted. I've been trying to soak this in as much as I possibly can. Last night, we had a delicious soup for dinner, and me and Grayson were slurping the whole time, just going... We were just sucking the juices out of that food. And my mom was like, hey, why are you guys slurping so much? We're like, oh, it's so tasty. So we all just started doing it together. And that's what I feel like I'm trying to do with this season. Yeah. I just want to suck everything out of it that I can. Each and every moment, all that God is doing at all of our locations. Yesterday, I know in Frisco, we got to hear one of the stories there. It's just so powerful what God is doing, how he's transforming lives, people giving their hearts to Christ, being baptized, dads coming home to Jesus, God breaking drug addiction off of people's lives. Can you believe we get to be a part of this? And then yesterday at White Rock, even third service especially, it was crazy. People were literally seated on the floor. They were coming in during worship, and I was trying to figure out, because I gave up my seat, I was standing, and then I was trying to see, where are all these people going? Why are they pulling these people in? Because there's no seats in the front row. And then I see them all just sitting down, sitting down. So there's a whole line of people on the steps, a whole line of people on the floors, everybody in the lobbies. And I just don't want to take it for granted. It's just like, I want to, just drink all of this in. Because we are a part of a miracle. And I'm honored. I'm really, really honored to be a part of it. You know, we spend our time on Mondays in prayer together. I know at our other campuses, I know San Antonio prays on Mondays. I know there's a day, it might be Thursdays, that we pray in Guatemala. But it's just really important to us that we pause and pray. And I have seen a lot of church staffs stop praying. Okay? And I think this can be a problem when you stop praying together.
For sure.
You just drift. And you can be like, oh, man, I got these other things to do. No, this is what we have to do. What we have to do is lay down our lives, remind ourselves that we need his presence and his power, that if he does not breathe out, we don't breathe in. We are desperate for him. We need a move of the Spirit. So I just got a couple of random thoughts here, but going off of that one right there, let me go to Exodus chapter 33. And you have probably heard this before. But in Exodus 33:12, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. I need some help here, God. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. But if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you. I love his prayer here. And continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people, that these people are your people, that these people are your people. I keep telling myself that as God keeps bringing in the people. These are your people, God. Then verse 14, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Wow. Whew, drink that in. My presence will go with you. And I will give you rest. We've been grinding right now. So that's a good thing to hear. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. We need it. Then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? It is his presence that distinguishes us from all the other people on the earth. And not that we're better than everybody, but so that everybody can think about God's glory and God's power. I'm excited about the potential building in San Antonio. I love that we have our Guatemala City space. I love what God is doing in Antigua. It's actually beautiful. If you have not been there yet, it's absolutely gorgeous. One day, hopefully, they'll let us tear down that little wall in between so that we cannot have, two separate rooms. But it is beautiful. beautiful down there. I love the buildings that God has given us. Yeah. But if we do not have his presence, it does not matter at all. Our lights cannot be cool enough. Yeah. My sermons cannot be good enough. Yeah. Our singing is not gifted enough. Yeah. What we need is his presence. Because you can get singing and lights and TED Talks any place you want to go. But where you need his presence is found with the people of God, in the presence of God, in the house of God. And that is what is our focus. So I want to make sure we don't drift from this. Do not get it twisted as God continues to give us gifts in other rooms. And we just were hearing what God did this past weekend at White Rock with the kids in the elementary room. And the room is so small. It is so tight. During COVID, we should have actually broken down that wall and made a bigger wall, but we didn't do that because we're trying to save money on everything because we didn't know what was going to happen. And but so the room's still small and tight. But it being small and tight, God still moved. He doesn't need these other things.
That's really good.
Yeah. Now, the things aren't bad. These are tools that God has given us to shout his fame and his glory. Instagram isn't bad. TikTok isn't bad in and of itself. Let's use it all for God's glory. But with that being said, do not begin to drift in your head and your heart thinking, oh, I need this other thing in order for God to move. No, you don't. No, you don't.
That's so good.
You can sit by a campfire with no guitar and no worship leader, and the presence of God will show up there just like he did with Paul and Silas. And there was no organ, there was no pad, there were no lights, there was no preacher. It was them about midnight singing psalms and hymns. Crying out to God, and the Lord shook a jail. That's why we pray, because we need God to still keep shaking jails. We need him to still continue to break chains off of people. And what does that is his presence. So let's not ever lose that. Now I'm gonna switch here. I'm gonna go another direction. Okay, I got all these random thoughts on my head. Had a great lunch during our work day. I think this was our staff work day last week, and was hanging out with Jono and Ryan, and Cash was there too. And we were talking just about life, and I forgot the question that was asked. Maybe it was about the staff team. I can't remember what it was, but my answer, I do remember my answer. Good question, but then I remember my answer. My answer was, please make sure you treat each other like you would treat me.
That's good.
Okay?
That's really good.
Let this just be a standard for us in our communication with each other.
That's so good.
Do not be disrespectful to somebody on the staff team and then be respectful when you're talking to me. If that is the way you do it, then I'm telling you, you're being disrespectful to me. Serve team, as you're talking to each other, treat each other as if you were talking to me or to my wife or someone that you have the utmost respect for. I want it to be utterly consistent throughout our entire church family, at every campus that we have, in every serve team, that how we treat each other and talk to each other, we never have to put on a face. We never have to put on some show, because we treat everyone the same everywhere we go. Please make sure this is consistent, because the enemy loves to bring disunity. And disunity happens in these side conversations and in these hallways and in text messages where there's no tone of voice and you're trying to do emojis, but you shouldn't have sent that via text. You should have had the conversation. Please make sure we are doing the utmost in the way we treat each other and honor each other, because this is one of our 12 stones. We give honor, not just honor to people that we would say are quote unquote above us. We give honor to everyone. We give honor to people that we are leading, to people that we are leading beside, people that we are following. I want to make sure this stays as a key in our house, that we give honor not just to those who can do something for us. That's not honor. That's manipulation. And that's not what we do. So what we're going to do is we're going to continue to treat every single person who enters our space. If they're within 3 to 4 feet, I remember one of my mentors, actually the guy who married us, he used to say, you know, just make sure you're being a light in your world. So that 2 to 3 square feet of space around you, if anybody gets in that space, you're just that's your space. That's the space where you get to be a source of hope and life and light to somebody. And sometimes it expands when you get a microphone in your hand. And your 2 to 3 square feet of space all of a sudden can be online or can fill a room or is with 50 kids in the elementary area, or it's leading a huddle. Wherever that is, wherever God continues to give you space and authority, just make sure you are honoring and loving and pointing people to Jesus and dripping with humility. There are no stars here other than Jesus. Not one of us is too important to grab a broom. Not one of us is too important to clean up some throw up in the hallway. Not one of us has graduated from going to a hospital visit or crying with somebody. And not one of us is too important to also not step into a moment that God has given you to lead. Do not think, oh, I better go over here and I'm going to clean up the toilets. No, don't clean up the toilets right now, because right now God put you up front and you're supposed to be leading the way He's calling you to lead. So don't let false humility pull you into some lie either. Make sure you step into the moments and the places and the spaces that God has given you. These are just random. Let me give you another one. I'm giving a bunch of stuff here. It's all just random. I'm gonna go to Joshua. This is one of the joys. I remember being on staff, even when I was a teenager. This is random, real quick, little side note. You go to Joshua chapter 5 as I'm talking here. But I remember as a teenager, I felt so much passion in my heart, so much all the time. Like I was just bubbling over, and I felt I didn't have, there was no place for me to go and speak ever, but I had this like in me. So I remember just even reading Acts chapter 2 and Peter's sermon, and I'm just reading it, and I'm reading it like I'm preaching it, and I'm just giving it all. I remember being 15, 16 years old, but what I had to do was go to the church and clean the toilets. That was my job. It was awesome. So you just did it. But I had all this in me. I remember being in Austin and being on staff, and I had all this in me to be preaching, but my job was to sit on the front row and to make sure just stuff was in order and unlock doors and just be a pastor and love on people and mop the floor if it needed to be, and be an usher if I needed to be an usher, and just sit there week after week after week after week and have all this on the inside of me, but not do anything with it other than serve how I was supposed to serve with what was put in front of me. And then God one day saw fit, you know, to open up the door. And now it's an honor to be able to have a space to be able to go, oh, He put this in me, and I get to share it. So it's just, it's an honor. Joshua chapter 5. We talked about this past week at all of our locations, how in chapter 3, they had stepped into the water, right, and put their foot in the water. Now they're entering in over into the promised land. And I'm going to read maybe a lot of verses here, but Joshua chapter 5, verse number 2, it says, "At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again." So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth. Now this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age, they died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died, since they had not obeyed the Lord. For the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place. And these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp. until they were healed.
Wow.
Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. Gilgal sounds like the word roll. That's why it's a little play on words. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate this food from the land. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites. But that year, they ate the produce of the land. So much happening in this passage of scripture. They've crossed over the Jordan, and all these people who have buried their parents because their parents disobeyed the Lord. They're now the generation that God has called and said, hey, I want you to be the ones that go into the promised land. But all the men had not been circumcised. And by circumcised, it literally means what you think it means. It's like real circumcision.
Yeah.
It's like what you do with baby boys even to this day. So those who don't know what circumcision is, you go back to Abraham. This was a sign of the covenant, yada, yada. But anyway, here is this sign of this connection. They had not been circumcised. So now you've got 40-year-olds. Okay? Grown men in the wilderness. And he says, bring them all. There has been a season of grace that I've had for 40 years. But now I have to cut. I have to cut. There's been grace. I've had you covered. You've been wandering these 40 years. You've dealt with a lot. You've navigated a lot. You've worn a lot. You've fought a lot of battles. You've been even upset, maybe frustrated at times. I've been providing for you. I've been giving you this manna because I am your provision, but I also been giving you grace. I've kept you as my people, even though this sign of the covenant has not been in your bodies. But now a shift is happening. You're coming into the promised land. It's now time for me to cut some things away.
Yeah.
So start coming up one at a time. Now, this can be really, really funny, too, if you want to make it funny, because the first guy, who wants to be the first guy? I'm not signing up for that. But there's got to be a first guy. There's got to be one person that goes first.
Wow.
And they go through that pain. Then there's got to be somebody else that steps up, and they got to go. Then somebody else has to step up, and they got to get cut. And somebody else, and they've got to get cut. And before you know it, they actually call it the Valley of Foreskins. How crazy is that? There's so much that has happened here. But God is saying, I'm rolling away the reproach. I'm taking away this junk that you had on you and over you. I'm removing all of that. And you're starting fresh and new in this season right here. And this is for all of you. It's for every man. It's for every man with a family. It's for every woman. All of you are being covered right here. I want you to know that a new season has come. Cutting has happened. And I want you to know this powerful, powerful thing that takes place. They stop and heal. First.
Yeah. So good, Earl.
They heal.
Oh my God.
They don't get cut and then go to Jericho. They get cut and then they heal. They get cut and then they pause. They get cut and they say, God, do a work in my heart. This is written. Now, what's happening in their body is really what God wants to do in all of our hearts.
Yeah.
Because you can read Jeremiah and other places. He talks about the circumcision of the heart. Right. I want to make sure I take away that extra. I want to take away the stuff that is not supposed to be there. I want to take away the things that are trying to, that might be a block between you and I. I want to cut some things away. Now, the cutting might hurt, but the cutting is so that you and I can actually have greater connection.
Yeah.
It's because I want you and I to not have anything between us. So he begins to cut away, and then he says, I need you to heal.
Whoa.
Beautiful, Earl.
Heal.
Whoa.
So I know we've been running hard.
And I don't have any problem with running hard. I think it's part of growth, okay? Some of us are like, dang, woo! Yeah, it's part of growth.
Yeah.
I'm hooking y'all up. The last week of December, we're gonna get there before we know it. It'll be here before we know it. We've been running hard, but please make sure you heal. I don't know how you heal. I don't know if you gotta go on your walks at night. I don't know if you have to lift your weights. I don't know if you have to do your journal writing, if you have to see your therapist, if you have, I don't know, if you have to sit in the dark with a candle and listen to worship music. I don't know what, but make sure you're healing. Make sure you're healing.
So good, Earl. So good.
You don't get extra credit for just being cut and then just running.
Whoa.
You gotta make sure you heal.
Good.
Make sure you heal. So in all the hustle and bustle, I heard, you know, some of the tech team was here till 11 o'clock at night last night. I'm so grateful for that going all in spirit. But at some, make sure you pause. Make sure you heal.
Yeah.
Make sure you get rejuvenated. So make sure you get filled back up. Make sure you take some time out in your head and in your heart to say, God, do something on the inside of me. I don't want to be working in my own strength and power. You don't want to sing from a dry place. You don't want to preach from a dry place. You don't want to lead from a dry place. You don't want to do any of it. You want to make sure you're doing it from a place of
that's
being
really
full.
Good.
And it can be hard having kids or dating somebody or with things going on with bills or am I going to move and all this stuff that can be going on. Make sure you pause.
Hallelujah.
Make sure you heal. Yeah. Make sure you get filled back
beautiful.
Up. But then from there, something beautiful happens. They celebrate the Passover. This for us is just remembering that Jesus is the start and the finish
of
this whole thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Because the Passover was a representation that the blood of the Lamb would be shed. And we put on the doorposts and the door frames of our house. And we would be made right with God, not because of anything that we have done, not because of new buildings, not because we're serving, not because we give money, not because we are kind people, not because we have a great church culture. None of those things make us right with God. We are made right with God only by the finished work of Jesus Christ. I love that after they got cut and they were healed, they celebrated the Passover. They remembered where God had brought them from. They remembered that they were in Egypt and God took them out of Egypt. They brought their minds back so they can still say, God, you're still good. You have carried us all of these years. I remember how good you have been. I remember how bitter it was in Egypt. Then I remember how flavorful it is to be free. I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not where I used to be. I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not broken how I used to be broken. I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not lost how I used to be lost. I say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not in the misery I used to be. And I say, thank you, Lord, that you've continued to carry me and sustain me. And they eat the Passover. They celebrate it. And that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land because the manna stopped. They were not able to eat the produce of the land in the wilderness because they were never in a place long enough to plant and to reap. So they always went around traveling and God just kept giving them daily bread every single day. That's all they were ever able to have. Daily bread, daily bread, daily bread, daily bread. You could take 2 days of bread on the Sabbath day because God did not want them working on the Sabbath. So that was the only time you could have extra. You never had extra. You only had enough for that day. That's all you ever had. For 40 years, they never had a savings account. They never had a whole bunch more to fall back on. All they had was daily bread, daily bread, daily bread, daily bread, daily bread, daily bread for 40 years. And then when they come into the promised land, they switch from the daily and then they eat the produce of the land. Now they're entering into a season where they begin to sow and they're going to begin to reap. Now they're beginning to mature. It's not that you are going to get somebody just handing something to you.
That's
now
so
God's
good.
Going to give you power and
that's
strength.
That's really good.
And you're going to plant and you're going to till the ground and then you're going to pull up weeds and then you're going to harvest. Then you're going to shuck the corn. Then you're going to cook that corn. It's like this whole other process. It's like I'm maturing you. I'm growing you now. So for us as a family, as we are cut, as our hearts are cut. Wow. This is not so God can keep us as infants. He's trying to mature us and grow us. So that now we begin to think like leaders. We begin to think like men and women who know what it means to sow and to reap. And I'm not just talking financially. I'm talking leadership. I'm talking wisdom. I'm talking intellect. I'm talking growth. I'm talking capacity. I'm talking all of these things because God is saying, I don't want you to stay the same in the next season. You'll not be able to operate like you operated the last last season.
You won't. You can't. It's really good.
So anybody who is a children of Israel, they're out there standing, waiting for manna.
Uh-oh.
They're going to miss it.
Wow.
Because God's not doing manna.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's doing sowing and reaping and harvesting.
Whoa.
So, I need somebody to do for me. No, I'm not doing it for you this time.
Wow.
I've done this for you for a while now. Okay, I've been right here and I've been able to be your crutch and I'm happy that I've been able to be here and be a support to you. But now you're going to have to stand on your own feet and you're going to have to learn what it means to be a man or a woman of God yourself. I'm happy to pray for you, but now I need you to pray for yourself. Now I need you to pray for your family. I'm willing to pray for your family, but now I need you to pray out.
Well,
I've never done that before. Well, it's a new season.
Yeah. That's really good.
It's a new place.
Yeah.
I'm bringing you to another level, if you will. Yeah. Not that the other level was bad.
Yeah.
But for those who are hearing this, our serve team, all of us in the circle of staff team, for sure, I just see that God is trying to go, level up here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Level up here.
Wow.
Okay? Level up.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some of the things were okay in the last season. They're not okay this season.
Yeah.
What does God have to cut away?
Come on.
It's good.
What does God have to change in you?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know God has been doing this in me. I know one thing in particular. God is making sure I cut away in my own heart is the fear that I have of being misunderstood.
Yeah.
And our who I am being misinterpreted by others who are outside of this space.
Wow.
I wear this too often. I wear that I know who I am, but I don't like that somebody can look at my clothes and think something about me that's not true about me when they don't know me.
Yeah.
My wife dressed me. That's why I look like this. But if I dress cool, quote unquote, all of a sudden I feel like I'm put in some category that I don't want to be in. I don't want to be any of that stuff. Yeah, I know I want to wash feet. Yeah. I want to lay down my life for my family. Yeah. I want to be about loving people. Yeah. I want to be about the word of God and the presence of God.
Yeah.
I don't care about being cool. I don't ever want to be cool. That is not a driver of mine. But for some reason, I have this fear that if everything is awesome and wonderful, we get all these eyes on us, I'm just afraid that people are going to misinterpret and make me into something that I don't want to be or think I'm something that I'm not. But when have I ever been able to control what anybody thinks?
Right.
I've never been able to control that.
Right.
So, let them think what they want to think.
Yeah. Say it.
It's got cutting it from my heart.
Yeah.
So I can live free.
Yes.
I'm living with stress that I should not be living with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I've got everybody's thoughts about me running through my brain.
That's really good.
God, cut it from my heart.
Come on.
Cut it from my heart. I'll preach your gospel. Yeah. I'm going to love people.
Whoa.
I'm going to let my wife dress me crazy.
Yeah.
I'm just going to trust you, Lord.
Wow.
You handle all that other stuff.
Yeah.
You handle all that. It's just one of the things
yeah.
that God is trying to cut from my own.
So good.
I don't know what he's trying to cut from yours.
Yeah.
I don't know what old mindset, what dream he has to kind of get rid of that you're like, oh, I'm holding on to this. He's like, whoa, no, it's not time for that.
Whoa.
You got 20 years till that happens.
Come on.
Wow.
Yeah. That's not for now.
Come on.
You better set that aside.
Come on.
I don't know what that is. What is it that God is speaking to your heart?
Yeah.
For all of our serve team, I want you to know we love you.
Yeah.
We're so for you.
Yeah.
So thankful for you. But I don't want it stopping with you, serve team. Yeah. I want you to transition from just being like, oh, I'm on the team. You got to see yourself as a leader.
Come on.
You got to begin to bring other people on the journey.
Come on.
With you. You're going to have to invite people to say, hey, you want to serve alongside me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can't serve. Yes, you can. I can, so you can. I don't want to be the only recruiter here at our church. This is how we see people become who God has called them to be. We don't need people holding doors. We need people becoming Christ-like leaders who make it all. Serving and giving of yourself is a primary way that God does that. Jesus says, come and follow me. I'll make you.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Not go and sit in a corner and just read the Torah and I'll make you.
Wow.
That's good.
Yeah, read the Torah. That's good. But come and follow, I'll make you. Come, hey, disciples, I'm about to feed all these people. You feed them. Well, we can't do it. Oh, goodness. Okay. Hey, bring me this stuff. Okay, now I'm going to give the buckets to you. I blessed it and I broke it. I'm going to give you the baskets.
Whoa.
And the disciples were the one holding the baskets as the people began to pull out the food.
Yeah.
It was not Jesus holding all the baskets.
Yeah.
Give to the disciples. Oh, I'm part of this. Oh, I'm seeing the miracle. That's our philosophy on discipleship.
Come
on the journey and watch God make you into who he has called you to be. All right, I'm all done here. I love y'all. Thank you. You guys are amazing and fantastic.